Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. How can I apply these Gospels into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to this world? I want to be light in this present darkness. I want to be a tool in the hand of God making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day, and that is what this show is all about. I'm so glad you could join us today. We are hearing from the Gospel of Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the Gospel of God. This is a time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Wow. There's a whole lot here, my friend. You hang out. We'll be right back. We're going to talk all about it here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. This is a time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. My friends, it is hard to overstate how profound these verses really are. Never has so much been said in so few words. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. One could say, and I'd be just the guy to say it, that these three short verses serve as the foundation, the cornerstone, on everything that we'll build from here. I mean, there is so much here that today, that's all we're going to talk about. Today, all we're going to talk about, nothing but these verses today. And still, we will be just scratching the surface. You know, not too long ago, a renowned theological professor, he's tenured at one of these Ivy League schools, wrote a paper called it Intelligent Design, Creation and Other Religious Mythologies. And we've talked about this time or two in the past. Of course, myth has its purpose. Myth is defined as a traditional story, especially one concerning the early history of a people, typically involving some supernatural beings or events. Examples would be the Greeks, who have Hercules, the Egyptians, who have Horus, the Irish, who have the children of Lear, the Scandinavians, who have Thor's hammer. I mean, there's all kinds of myths. But understand this, my friends. Christianity is not one of them. Christianity is not a myth, because it is very much married to history, real history. We have many accounts outside of the Bible that testify to the fact that a man named Jesus from Nazareth walked this planet. And at some point, stepped out and said, the time of fulfillment is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This happened in real space and real time. And you know, time's kind of a funny thing. Of course, the Greeks have two words for time, because Greek is much more precise than English. The Greeks have chronos and kairos. So chronos describes the time that we know, that marks the historical moments like a clock ticking. The moment your child was born, the moment you were married, but not just the big moments, every moment. The moment you spilled coffee on the computer. Like I said, time's an interesting thing when you stop to think about it. Because on one hand, time is free. You just get it. But on the other hand, time is priceless. I mean, think about it. Time is God's gift to us. It's the grace of our lives as we walk around. So that's chronos. But then there's kairos. And kairos is different. Kairos is that moment in time that changes everything. So while chronos is the clock ticking, marking historical events, kairos points to when something happens where everything changes. Like, for example, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The birth of Jesus was a kaironic event. It changed our calendars, leaving us with B.C. and A.D. Now, I bring this up to make the point that my prayer for you today, my prayer for me today, is that these verses, this is a time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel will be a Quranic event for us all, as it changes everything. So let's go. This is a time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What does that really mean? How can I apply this into my daily living? Well, let's begin with, this is a time of fulfillment. And let us begin by getting back to that issue of time. Remember, time is both free and priceless. But at the same time, time isn't really real. Time is an illusion. The past is gone and will never come back. So it's not really real. The future might never come. It's promised to nobody. So that's not really real either. The only real time is this moment. Right here, right now, me talking to you. And it is gift. That's why they call it the present. And the thing about this present, this eternal now, is we don't spend a lot of time here. We just don't. Because we're always thinking about what's going to happen or talking about what just happened. And how often do we immerse ourselves in the present moment where it is happening? I would say not much. Which is unfortunate, because this is where God lives. God cannot live in your tomorrow. God cannot live in your yesterday. He only lives in your now, which is what? The time for fulfillment. Now, that Greek word for fulfillment is pleroma, which means completely filled, spilling over. So kairos and pleroma are colliding. And what is being fulfilled? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is upon you. Right here, right now. Now, of course, when I hear that phrase, kingdom of God, I'm thinking, well, that's heaven, right? You know, the place where you go after you die, if you're good, I would think that most people, that's what they would think of with kingdom of heaven. I imagine if I were to step out into the streets of Nitro and interview people as they went by and ask them, hey, what's the kingdom of God? I think most people would say, well, you know, somewhere out there where God lives, you know, beyond the clouds. But how does that square up with Jesus as he says, the kingdom of God is upon you? Right here, right now. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back. And we will continue to consider this amazing gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. This is a time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. This is what he said right here, right now, not just in church on Sunday, but when you leave church, because God is everywhere in all things all the time, fulfilled completely, spilling over every moment of the chronos, every detail in our lives. This is a time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, regarding that last one, repent and believe in the gospel. This is not the first time we've heard this phrase. It comes from the banks of the Jordan. This is the cry of John the Baptist. Repent and believe in the gospel. That is his message. A message that Jesus picks up and without changing even a little bit of it, carries it all the way to Calvary, to this day, to this moment, right here, right now, your eternal now. Repent and believe in the gospel. You know, I got a letter not too long ago from a lady who wrote, "Dear Father C, you don't preach about repentance enough." And of course, she's right. But boy, she's going to be happy today, because that's all we're going to be talking about today, repentance. So let's go, starting with the root word, repent. What does it mean? What does the word repent mean? Well, let's begin with what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean feeling bad about it. It doesn't mean, well, I'll try harder. It doesn't mean saying, I'm so sorry, over and over again. I feel so bad. I mean, there is a word for that. It's called contrition. And contrition has its place. It might lead to repentance, but it ain't repentance. Because repentance is not an emotion. Repentance is not an adjective. It's not a feeling. It's a verb. It requires action. To repent requires that you do something. And what must I do? I must change. And here's the problem. because people don't do change well. I know, I'm a people and I don't do change well. But the greatest response you can give the gospel is change. And if you're the very same person today that you were even 5 years ago, you're not responding to the gospel. Repent comes from the Greek word metanoia. Meta means change. Noia means your thinking. So I guess it begins with a change of your thinking, which hopefully leads to a change in direction. Meaning I'm going one way, and I stop and I turn to go another. Which by definition means that I'm turning towards something and at the same time away from something else. In other words, I'm changing my ways, and that's repentance. And somewhere right now, that lady's standing up and cheering. Repent and believe in the gospel. So let's get to the second half of this. Believe in the gospel. How can we do that? Believe in the gospel. I want to believe in the gospel. How can I do that? Well, it starts with the basic understanding that one cannot believe in something that one does not know. And if you're relying on the thimble full of scripture you might hear once a week in church, you're not going to know it. Believing in the gospel requires knowing the gospel, and knowing the gospel requires reading the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, if you look closely at that language, it seems to be suggesting a continuous action, because of course it is. Because repentance requires a continuous action. Why? Because we're continuous sinners. In other words, this is not one and done. Repentance is not a door you walk through one time. It's a journey. Faith is a journey. The time of fulfillment is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is the very first thing that Jesus tells us. We're in chapter 1 in Mark. This is the cornerstone upon which everything else builds. Of course, you know what a cornerstone is, right? I mean, since ancient times, builders have used cornerstones. It's that first big block that's placed to serve as the corner of two walls. And the thing about the cornerstone is that once it's set, it becomes the basis of every other measurement. In other words, everything aligns to the cornerstone. When Jesus says repent and believe in the gospel, what he's doing is he's calling us to align our lives with him. As we invite Jesus to become the cornerstone of our lives, which is a foundation upon which everything is measured. As I allow logos, which is nothing less than the mind of God, to dwell inside of me. I mean, think about that. The Word became flesh in me. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is the mission statement of the Christian life. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is the cornerstone of the good news. As we are called to invite Jesus to become the cornerstone of our lives. So here's the question. Do we? Is Jesus the cornerstone of my life? Well, to answer that's pretty easy, actually. Just take out a legal pad and write down the top most important things in your life and be honest, starting with the most important thing, working down. Hopefully Jesus is going to show up on that list somewhere, you know, the cornerstone. Understand that anything that's above that name is precisely what you have to lose before you build a house that honors him. Now understand, I'm not saying that those other things are not important. Family, friends, health, career, happiness, all that. God wants you to be happy. But Jesus must be the most important thing before he can become your cornerstone. So how do we do this? Well, happy are we because Jesus tells us. Repent and believe in the gospel, which begins with understanding that we are in a spiritual battle. It is raging all around us. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you can either fight that battle or be conquered. Because as Paul put so well, our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities, against the powers of a dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, some might hear this and say, well, you know, you're right. I'm going to repent. I'll repent tomorrow. But here's the problem with tomorrow. God doesn't live in your tomorrow. He only lives in your now, which is why the time for fulfillment is now. The kingdom of God is upon you. Repent and believe in the gospel. So let me ask you a question. When you hear these words, the time for fulfillment is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. When you hear those words, what habitual sin is coming to mind? Ask God to remove its flavor. Repent and believe in the gospel. Let's just say for discussion's sake that you're thinking to yourself, okay, you know, you're right. I got it. I want to do the right thing. What's the first thing I got to do, Father? See, well, let me tell you. The very first thing that you must understand is coming to accept the fact that whatever that thing is that came to mind, you are its slave. It is your master. You are completely powerless. It absolutely has to start here. You know, anybody who has watched this program over any length of time would know that I'm a fan of Alcoholics Anonymous. These are people who have gotten together and have managed to put the disease of alcoholism into remission. Now, AA, as it's known, has the big book, which is, you know, the big book tells you how to do it. Now, you can lay a Bible on the top of the big book, and it's completely consistent. And while the goal of AA is sobriety, which is a noble goal, it really only comes about as a side effect of a much greater spiritual awakening, which would be beneficial to us all. So let me tell you how it happens. The skinny, beginning with the cornerstone to which everything else is measured, the bedrock of AA, the first step, this is the foundation of a spiritual awakening. And it all begins with powerlessness. We have admitted that we are powerless over alcohol or that thing, that our lives have become unmanageable. That's step one. Understanding that that thing, no matter what it is, you can't beat it. I am its slave, it is my master, I have no power over it. It has to start here. But then here comes the second step. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That is a turning. But then here's where the magic happens. Step three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So watch what's going on here. Number one, I have come to understand that I am powerless. Number two, I have come to believe that something outside of myself can save me. And number three, I'm gonna let it. My friends, Jesus said the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. What about you? What about me? Are we rejecting the cornerstone these days? The time for fulfillment is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus is calling you today. He wants to be the cornerstone of your life. Once upon a time, three frogs were sitting on a log next to a pond on a hot summer's day. One frog decided he was going to jump in. How many frogs are left on the log? Two? No. Three. He had only made the decision that he was going to jump in. He hadn't done anything yet. What about you? You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. And remember, every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.